Scripture I like very much is found in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 17 says, How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Kind of a mixed bag of concepts and thoughts there. The part that I was wanting to focus on is the sum of God's thoughts. You cannot total up all the good thoughts that God has for you. God is thinking good things towards you even when you're not thinking good things toward God. Hello? So I was just thinking about that this morning. I thought that'd be a good scripture to share with you. What I wanted to kind of tie that in with is we've been talking about the Feast of Pentecost, and we've mentioned over and over again the importance of that feast, how that it was a celebration of the ingathering or the harvest that God was allowing the children of Israel to enjoy and to bring in. Prophetically speaking, it gives us a picture of the ingathering of people for whom Christ came to give life. And the thought that has continued to stay with me in this study is the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that Jesus did not tell them, go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit so you can speak in tongues. Are you hear what I'm saying? Now, we Pentecostals have a huge problem with tongues, more so than what people who don't believe in them do. Our problem is that we equate people as being less spiritual than ourselves if they don't have operate or practice the gift of tongues. Now, I kind of disarmed some of my enemies in this subject matter because for years, I will admit, I was like a lot of Pentecostals, felt that we who spoke in tongues had at least one level of closeness to God above and beyond those who didn't. And over the years, obviously, none of us stay where we are. Theologically, we grow. We develop, hopefully at least. And some of us grow closer to God. Some of us just grow old. I hope that I'm growing closer to the Lord. And I've developed the theology in my own heart that works for me. But it does kind of disarm my Baptist buddies and others here in town that don't agree with my theology, that if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. You can't be saved without the Holy Spirit. It's an impossibility. Now, we Pentecostals, we were convinced that you got saved, and then you received the Holy Spirit, and you only knew you had the Holy Spirit as if you spoke in tongues, because that was what was called the initial evidence. And I'll tell you what actually started making me think about that concept was a number of years ago when we were still over in the old building across from the post office, had a young man come preach for us, and he was raised a Pentecostal, and he was going through a process in his own life on the subject matter, And he made the comment, he says, I've come to the conclusion that the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit ought to be holiness. It's called the Holy Spirit, not the tongue spirit, the Holy Spirit. And it started making me question some of the things that I believed for a long time about the Holy Spirit. And of course, as I've told you many times, I've been doing this for many years. And I begin to think through and I begin to investigate how the Scripture presents the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture presents the Holy Spirit not as a Casper the Friendly Ghost that speaks in tongues, okay? But he's a third person of the Trinity. He is God. He's not just an experience. He is God. And we Pentecostals love our experiences. I said, we love our experiences. And there's nothing wrong with experiences, only when you allow the experiences to be the means by which you define what God is saying and what God is teaching in the Word. Your experiences can be wrong. Hello? So, when we think about the Feast of Pentecost, and this is the thing that struck me kind of afresh, hadn't really thought about it, is that Jesus, when he told them to go in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit, that they were obeying what he said to do, but they were going to receive power that they might be able to carry out the mandate of the church. I'm convinced that you cannot successfully live for God without the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. I'm convinced of that. All right? But the thing that I really wanted to emphasize in this study is that the Feast of Pentecost, I've been praying that God will give us a second Pentecost here in Living Waters Chapel, that we will recognize that it's the gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, a few years ago, I went to a penny store, and I bought these shoes. And I discovered when I got these shoes home that they had tongues. Now, I didn't go to the store to buy tongues. I went to the store to buy shoes. I know this is profound. But I think what the Lord is trying to teach the church in a fresh new way is that the gift of the Holy Spirit is the person of God Himself. Not the gift of tongues. But the thing you cannot deny and cannot dismiss lightly is that when the room, we found in Acts 2, when they were in the upper room, they had some evidences that showed that something's about ready to happen. There was wind that came blowing through, a roaring sound. The place was shaken. And cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of their heads. And then they began to speak with tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the words to say. And I found something interesting the other day as I was doing some Greek research on that, that it literally says they begin to speak with tongues and continue to speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the words to say. They didn't speak in tongues before and say, okay, that's it. They continue speaking in other tongues. We need to understand that when Paul explains to us in his letter to the Corinthian church, he says that when a person speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaks to God and he speaks in mysteries. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm convinced that my brain, though it's massive in its context, is very limited in how I can communicate with the Father God. So he gives me the Holy Spirit so that there's no restrictions whatsoever to my speaking. And I love what old Robert used to say. He used to say, if you're saved, you can speak in tongues if you want to. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Now, Jack Hafer says that tongues is not an obligation. It's a privilege. Think about it. When you pray in the Spirit, and your tongues is your prayer language, when you pray in the Spirit, you are speaking to God in mysteries. Now, the importance of the gift of interpretation is so the Holy Spirit can tell you what you're saying. But even if He doesn't tell you what you're saying, you're still speaking mysteries to the Father God. And it's important you recognize then that the Feast of Pentecost was not just the introduction of tongues, it was the introduction of the Holy Spirit. And embodied within the Holy Spirit are the nine gifts of the Spirit. And that's why I've come to believe over the years that if you're born again, you have all nine gifts of the Spirit on the inside of you. Some people think, oh, this has got this one, they got that one, they got that one. No, if you've got the Holy Spirit, you have all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because you can't have part of the Holy Spirit and not have the other part. He doesn't come just part and parcel. He comes wholly and completely. Hello? Now, last Sunday, we had an awesome altar service. Awesome, powerful anointing was here. And my prayer, my desire was for us to begin to grab a hold of the simple truth that the Holy Spirit is a person and that we need to open ourselves completely and totally to Him. Now, as I was going through this, thinking about this subject matter, remember a few weeks ago we talked about a change of perspective, changing the way we think. We have a difficult time changing the way we think because we're so convinced that we're right. Hello? Now, I don't know if you think you're right, but I know I'm right. And it's a challenge when I hear something that makes me have to reconsider what I'm convinced that I'm right about. Look at somebody and say, I think I agree with what he's saying. Because that's the way I am. Now, what I wanted to do is I wanted to talk to you that Sunday, which I did speak to you that Sunday, about the importance of the ongoing work of faith that is continually bringing goodness into my life. It's not future tense, it's right now. It's on its way right now. And that we found in Mark 11 where Jesus said that when you pray, believe, and it shall come. And I explained to you that the word shall is not in the original Greek. It's a word which literally means it should not say shall come. It means it should say it comes to pass. It's a present tense verb, which means that the moment you pray, God begins to put in order the gift that you're asking for, the answer you're asking for, and it's on its way. And so when people ask us, how you doing? You don't have to say I'm sick. You can say I'm being healed. I'm being healed. Or God is bringing my spouse to a place in God where, you see, we went through this idea where we had to make sure our confession of faith was just right, so we had to say the right things, and if we said the wrong thing, we were having a confession, so we had to have a good confession, and we wound up actually lying. I know that's unpopular, but it's true. Because if your body is not healed of the sickness, then to say that you're healed, you can say, by faith, I'm healed according to the Word of God, which is a fine thing. It's okay to say that. But we got into this idea of saying, bless God, I'm going to confess the Word, God, I'm healed. And people look at us, you don't look healed. But to be theologically correct, we really need to be saying, I am being healed. And when the healing manifests, I can say, I am healed. Are you hearing me? I'm believing God. It's like I need a financial miracle. And I've asked God to answer mine financially. So now I believe that He is answering that prayer. I don't have it yet, but it's coming. Am I making sense here? And you see, we don't have to change our perspective. You can still go ahead and make your confessions of faith if you want to. But make sure that you say them in such a way that people perceive that you're lying because they don't see the evidence you say that you have. So to save a lot of explanations and to be correct scripturally, why don't you say, if you need healing in your body, say, Lord, I thank you, I'm being healed right now. Is it complete? No. I love what my Baptist buddies used to say years ago. Said, I'm not saved, I'm being saved. I never liked that. I'm saved, bless God, by the blood of Jesus. But I begin to understand what they were saying. I'm in the process of being saved from this world. I still live here. I have the gift of eternal life on the inside of me, but I'll be saved completely when I stand in the presence of God. Making sense? Talking about perspective here now. All right? Now, here's what I want to complete my thoughts this morning with. And if you would like, I'd like you to turn over to Mark chapter 9. And I was thinking while I was down in Pennsylvania visiting our children, and there were some times when it was quiet. Not very many. When there's four boys running around the house, I don't care how big the house is, it's noisy. But I was thinking, what would happen to us as believers if we started thinking differently about possibilities? How many of you remember Robert Schuller? Had the Glass Cathedral out in California. He really taught possibility thinking. And I understood what he was saying. The problem with it is that it didn't have enough of Jesus in it like I thought it should have. But anyway, the concept was good. Possibility thinking. Did you know that God's a God of possibilities? And as I was thinking, and of course, driving up, I was thinking about today, and of course, I was thinking about today. Yesterday, I actually started thinking about Sunday. And thinking about, you know, what we're going to talk about. And I was thinking, you know what? Wouldn't it be awesome if we would just start thinking about possibilities rather than thinking about how bad things are? Hello? You know? We wake up in the morning and we start thinking about, I got to put up this all day long. Instead of thinking, possibly the Lord could bring healing into my body. Or our kids come home with some stinking thinking, and we'd like to lay our hands on them and pray. Sometimes not pray, but anyway, we'd like to deal with them. And we start thinking about the negatives. I mean, my grandson turned 13 this week. I can't believe I've got a 13-year-old grandson. And I'm only 39 years old. I'm possibility thinking, okay? Possibility thinking. I don't know if that was, but I'm not going to even ask you to repeat it. But the point being is that I'm thinking, there's Joel. I mean, there's a Parker, my 13-year-old. And my daughter was telling me, she says, boy, she says, I can't believe Parker's 13. I've got some stuff ahead of me. I said, yeah, you do. But there could be possibilities for goodness. Could be possibilities for blessing. But there could be possibilities for garbage too. But you see, if we keep our focus on God, that's where our possibilities are. And here Jesus, remember, he went up on the mountain and he was transfigured before them. And on his way down off the mountain, some of his disciples being challenged by a parent who wanted his son healed. His son was an epileptic, and he wanted him prayed for, and they couldn't do it. They didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives at that time. And in verse 21, Jesus asked the question, has it been since this child has been acting this way? And he said, from the time that he was a child. And he says, sometimes they cast him in the fire, the waters that kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Think about that. All things are possible if you believe. Now, obviously, you've got to make sure your faith is focused on the right person. We're not talking about positive thinking that everything's going to be okay. Because sometimes things just aren't okay. Sometimes things just turn out to be an absolute disaster. But you see, if we've got to focus on Jesus, it doesn't matter how the natural things are developing. We know in the end, we're going to win. Amen. We know that. All right? But Jesus was saying, if you can believe, all things are possible. I was praying, Lord, how do we deal with this? How do we kind of sort through this? And immediately my mind went into the Word, and I was thinking about the day of Pentecost. How that, remember, Jesus has walked them for 3.5 years or so, and there was only one Jesus. Only one Jesus. There weren't a bunch of Jesuses. There's only one Jesus, and he sent them in his name to do miracles, but there was still only one Jesus. There was only one man, one human being filled with the deity of God. Jesus, as was God before he came, he's wrapped up in human flesh, and he's walking the earth, and so then he leaves, and he sends the Holy Spirit. Now notice what happened. God performed a creative miracle. Here's 100 in this room waiting on the promise of the Father, which Jesus called the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what was going on. They had no concept of what was happening. It was totally a clean slate. There was no history, no record of anything. It was like Jesus, then he's gone, and now he says, go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he will empower you to do the things that I did. What did that mean to them? Well, obviously, it was a major question mark, because they didn't know. So they're in this room, and the Holy Spirit comes. And when he comes, and remember, and was buried, and Hebrews says that in this process, after having been raised from the dead, declared righteous, defeated Satan, came out of the tomb, and went back to the Father. Hebrews says he took his own blood into the most holy place, and then came back and spoke to the disciples for 40 days. And in the process of that happening, God opened up the door, because remember, the veil was symbolically torn in half, so that the holies of holies was open to all people, not just the high priest, but when Jesus went into the holies of holies in the heavenlies and took his own blood there, forever perfecting those who come to God by him. Hallelujah. That means you and me were forever cleansed and purified, and the curse of sin was destroyed. And Paul says in Romans 6 that when Jesus died, we died with him, and when Jesus was raised from the dead, we were raised with him, and we were given the life of God on the inside of us. So now, on the day of Pentecost, that miracle takes place. God came in the person of the Holy Spirit and entered into those 120 people. Now we don't have one Jesus, we have 120 Jesuses. And then later that day, 3,000 people were saved. So we went from 120 Jesuses to 3,120 Jesuses. And then sometime later, after the man was healed at the beautiful gate, and they preached, another 5,000 people were brought into the kingdom. Now, what I'm saying to you is, the miracle that occurred defied human knowledge. There's no way in the world that anybody could have explained what happened that day. All they could do is hear them speaking in languages that they hadn't learned, and here's this man stand up and preach who just days earlier had denied Jesus. Now he stands up in front of these people and preaches, and 3,000 people respond to his message, and they get born again, and all of a sudden, Jesus is being multiplied through the Holy Spirit into the lives of people simply by saying, yes! That's awesome. Now, what I want to bring your attention to is this. When God saw that, he saw possibilities. He didn't see 120 failures. Now, you got to remember that Jesus appeared to over 500 people in that 40-day period, according to what Paul said. So it's conceivable that 380 of them said, this is taking too long. I mean, they were there. Can you imagine being in a prayer meeting for 10 days? At a convention I was at in our organization years ago, our bishop stood and said, I want you to come down and stand in front of here, and I want you to pray in the Spirit over the convention for 5 minutes. For 5 minutes. Everybody say 5 minutes. You know how long they prayed? Three. Bunch of preachers. Lord have mercy on preachers. I could lay hands on a lot of them. The point being is that they were there for 10 days praying. 10 days! But anyway, God answered. And what a possibility took place. What a possibility took place. Turn to the book of Luke and I'll close with this. In Luke, how many have heard of Christmas in July? You heard of that? Well, this is Christmas in June 29th. Remember there was a little girl by the name of Mary? She wasn't very old, but she had an appearance of an angel. Angel came to her. Now, I want you to get this. I don't know if this ever... You ever think about... Ever think about the Old Testament saints in particular that would have these appearances of angels and how it affected them? They'd fall flat on their face because they believed that if they saw God face to face, they would die. So they would fall down because even John on the Isle of Patmos, when Jesus appeared to him, he fell down. Jesus, you know, get up, John. I want to talk to you. Hello? This says that angel appeared to Mary, said that she was troubled by what he had to say. I thought, that's just like my wife. She's more troubled by what I say than the fact she sees me, you know. But I thought about that, I thought, you know what? Here's this girl, we don't know anything about her past, and other than the fact that she obviously had found favor with God, so she must have been living a pretty holy life. And the angel appears to her, and she's more troubled by what she heard him say rather than his appearance. I thought that was pretty amazing. But anyway, he said to her that she's going to have a baby. And she said, verse 34, she said, I don't know how that's going to happen because I've never been involved with a man relationally like that. And verse 35 says, the angel said to her, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And then verse 37, he says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing is impossible. Now, you see, she had to change the way she thought. Biologically speaking, it was impossible for her to have a child by herself. Does that make sense? Did the angel say, oh, well, if you don't understand, that's okay, we'll just forget it. No, he just told her what was going to happen, how the Holy Spirit was going to overshadow her. And so she says, in verse, I like what she says in verse 38, Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Part of her. That word "be it" is an interesting word. It means to. It's the Greek word "genomai," which means to call into existence that which did not before exist. It's the word that describes the creative acts of God. So here's this girl. She hears this man that she's never met before. She recognizes that he's an angel, and he says to her that she's going to have a baby, and she's more concerned about what he said than what he looks like. You know, the awesomeness of the moment. And then she says, well, listen, you mind explaining this to me? You know, I mean, I understand a few things, and, you know, you just can't have a baby by yourself. And he says, well, here's what's going to happen. Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. You're going to conceive, and God is going to give birth to a child through you. And the angel continued by saying, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Say it with me. With God, nothing is impossible. I want you to, for a moment, just consider every issue that's in your life right now that is impossible in the natural. Every situation. If you're dealing with sickness in your body, I want you to begin thinking, with God, nothing is impossible. If you got a spouse that is not living like they should, Father, with you, nothing is impossible. If you got some kids that are walking rebellion to the things of God, Father, with you, nothing is impossible. If you've got some family members that are dealing with issues, I just was called this, got notified this week while we were gone that a minister friend of mine that I'd worked with many years before died this week, and it just was sad, and I began thinking about all the issues that we went around, we spent time with him, and yet it's I can't, there's nothing to do about it. He's dead, gone. He's in heaven, thank God. But you know, there's a lot of us, we look at things as being terminal. We look at it as, oh, give up, no hope. Folks, with God, all things are possible. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with in your life this morning. It doesn't matter what impossibility is going on in your life with that. With God, all things are possible. There are no impossibilities with God. I was thinking about this this week, and I thought, God, if we could just change the way we think. Now, I'm not talking about being a rebel in your thinking. Bless God, I'm not going to conform to what other people think. I'm not talking about that at all. Okay? You realize that meekness is not weakness. Meekness is assertive in the realm of the spirit, not assertive in your natural mind. You see, you're just really not that important. Sorry to disappoint you if you're carrying a, you know, big deal about yourself, but we're just basically not really that important. Life's going to go on without my friend Art. Life's going on without him, and life will go on without you. But for the moment, this moment, right now, you carry an amazing weight in the kingdom of heaven, because God wants to use you to bring about change everywhere you go. But you see, he uses you as the messenger, not as a change agent. You're not responsible to make everything change the way that it ought to be. You're responsible to trust that the God of impossibilities on the inside of you can do the impossible. Hallelujah. You may be facing some issues in your life that are just so big, so humongous, that there doesn't seem to be any hope. You know something? What? Lord, be it unto me. And she uses a word, or Luke records the word in the Greek, do the miracle working stuff. I can't do it. She was not going to make herself conceive. She was not going to make herself be able to give birth to the child. That was God's work. You see, we forget impossibilities mean impossibilities. But possible with God. And we need to start rethinking. What is your first response to the negatives that are in your life? Is it, oh me? Or is it, okay, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but all things are possible with you. All things are possible, God. And as I was thinking about the Feast of Pentecost, I realized that in the same way that God connected impossibilities with possibilities with Mary, that's really what he did on the day of Pentecost. Think about this for a moment, and then I'll close. Here's Jesus walking the earth as one single individual. All right? He didn't wait until he had several tens of thousands of people having gathered into his ministry before he left. He's got 11. 11 men. And in the process of going to the cross, every one of them abandoned him. They all took off. I always think it's humorous how that one of the guys in the garden that was with him took off, and he slipped out of his clothes and ran naked, because that's all they could grab. It's kind of like he got away with the skin of his teeth. Like really getting down to the bare facts. But anyway, bad. Anyway, and yet Jesus looks at these 11 guys and thinks, possibilities, possibilities, possibilities. I said possibilities. You need to start looking at what's going on in your life and saying, possibilities, possibilities. Now, we love the conclusion of the matter. We enjoy being able to see a conclusion to our problem, and so we move on. And I hate to say it, but sometimes matters in our life stay around for a long time. Hello? You know, and so it's like that spouse you've been married to for 15 or 20 years and not walking with Jesus like they should. Or those kids that have been rebellious for the last 15 years and it looks like for the next 25 before they finally come to their senses. Or, you know, I mean, you can name a bunch of things that look like that they're going to endure forever. You know what? That's not your problem. That's God's problem. Your problem is your perspective. How are you looking at the deal? Are you seeing it? Are you seeing it as impossible for what it says and for what it dictates to you? Or are you looking at the word and saying, Father, I'm declaring that as that my part of Pentecost is to change my perspective so that I can see the possibilities in your plan rather than the impossibilities of the plan that's laying out before me. I'm convinced that we haven't seen anything that God wants to do yet. I'm convinced that God wants to blow a fresh wind into the church today like never before. And I'm convinced that in this place, Not across town, not across the state, not across the country, around the world, but in this town, I believe God's got a set of possibilities that are for us, that He wants to do in our lives. We've got to be willing to let Him do it. And it doesn't begin by us not doing anything. It begins by saying, okay, God, I need to start thinking different. You've heard me say effort in different times, stinking thinking. And that's exactly what it is. It's stinking thinking. It's you know. See, how many have ever heard anything about the faith message? Yay! Now we've all heard it, haven't we? I've been preaching to you for years. And we allow ourselves to get locked into the time issue. I'm praying, okay, God, anytime. Come on, God, don't wait so long. Your stuff, bad stuff's happening, God. Come on, hurry up. Oh, I haven't been confessing the word enough. Oh, I better start confessing the word. Now, confess the word, but confess it with understanding. Speak the word, but speak it with understanding. And the word that we need to talk about today is, okay, God, change my perspective. Don't let me be limited by what I see or limited by what I don't see. But let me be unlimited by seeing your possibilities for whatever I'm facing with. Amen? Now, I'm convinced this gets us all. But I must admit, it gets me. Because I'm just like you. I've got to deal with the end game. I've got to deal with seeing how's it going to conclude. And God is saying, that's not your job to worry about anything concluding. It's your job right now just to start declaring, okay, God, when I look at my spouse, when I look at my kids, when I look at my grandchildren, when I look at the environment, when I look at the government, when I look at our church, when I look at people, I've got to say, Father, I see possibilities. I see possibilities. I said, I see possibilities. You see, we can get tied up into seeing the impossibilities and walk in frustration and anxiety because God hasn't moved like we want. And the fact is that God's always moving. There's never a time when God is not. But my problem is that He moves at a different pace than what I think He should. If God would ever check with me. But He never does. He just operates according to His own pace. So what He wants me to do is to get in line with Him. And to get in line with Him means to change the way I think. That's where it begins. And if I change the way I think, I'll change the way I talk. And if I change the way I talk, I'll change the way I conduct my life. And if I change the way I conduct my life, my environment, my circumstances will change. But it all begins on the inside of me. So I challenge you this morning. I challenge you this morning to ask the Holy Spirit to give you a Pentecost. The Pentecost that He gave the church was a creative miracle. And it was in view of the massive challenge for the known world, and since that time for the billions of people that have come upon the face of the earth, it all started one seed of possibility thinking. Turning it over to 12 people or 11 people who maybe not really embrace impossibility thinking, but were willing to follow His leadership. And then when the Holy Spirit came, He changed them into possibility thinkers. All of a sudden they saw the world as an opportunity rather than a challenge. You see, we can do it. We can do it just making a decision. I've got to decide. I'm going to start thinking the way God thinks. And how does God think? God doesn't see the impossibility. He sees the possibility. Now, you see, it's kind of a different deal because, see, God has the power to order all the stuff so that the possibilities come out. We don't. But we do have the power to change our focus, change the way we think, and change the way we talk. Amen? Amen. Father, we come before you right now. Lord, you're such an awesome God. And Father, you desire your church to function as possibility thinkers. Not possibilities for the sake of thinking better, but possibilities thinking in terms of focusing on you and your awesome, awesome opportunities that are out there that you want to bring to pass. Lord, there are some here this morning that have been bound up by the impossibilities of their life. And Lord, they've been chewed up, they've been eaten, they've been bit, they've been tormented, they've been challenged, they've just been overcome. And Father, your desire is for them to be overcomers, to live big above and beyond what they face. But Father, the only one who can make that happen is your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray this morning in Jesus' name that you'd give us a willingness to fully surrender to you. To surrender our thoughts and our future, what we believe are possible things. God, just to simply surrender to you and quit thinking about the negatives that are surrounding us and start thinking about a God who is positive, who knows how to turn things around. And Lord, until we see the things turn around, we're going to continue to declare about the possibilities that with God, all things are possible. Father, in Jesus' name, release your presence in every heart, every mind. In Jesus' name. With your head bowed, you just like to ask one question. Are you here? You say, Pastor, I need to change the way I'm thinking. Negative and constantly seeing the impossible. I need to turn around and begin seeing the possibilities of your goodness. Let me see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Praise God. Anybody else? Thank you. All right, let's all stand. If you raise your hand, why don't you come down here and stand. And we're going to agree with you that God is going to make a change in your life that's just going to blow this old natural carnal thinking thing right out the window. If you raise your hand, why don't you just make a straight line across here, because we're all going to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Anybody else? Thank you, Father. Okay, now I want the rest of you to come down here, and we're going to pray with them. Thank you, Father. Come on, circle around front. We're going to circle them. We're going to surround them with prayer. Come on, folks. Come on this side. Come on this side. Come on. Come on. On the front side. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Come on. One person in front of every person. Come on. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, now you that are on the front line, turn and look at me. Now, I drafted you. Over here, you got to look at me now. I drafted you. This means you got to pray out loud. No quiet praying. But you pray out loud. You hear what I'm saying? Pray out loud, okay? Now, you guys in back, you pray out loud too. But it's always easier to pray behind somebody than in front of them. Okay? So you front guys are called, that's why they call you the front line, you know? Get it? Okay. Now turn around. Lay hands on their head. Now let's just begin to pray. Father, we pray right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we curse the depression. We curse the defeat that the enemy is trying to sow around the minds of these ones who are here this morning. Father, we are believing that you are a God of possibilities. And Father, you are literally imparting possibilities to our heart, to our mind. Lord, from this moment on, Father, we're going to see possibilities rather than the negatives. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, we lay hands on these ones, on this in line. We declare, Father, that your Holy Spirit is just filling them afresh. Of your kingdom, the possibilities of your goodness. Father, what you have declared in your word, you're going to bring to pass in their lives in the name of Jesus. They're not just here by accident. They're here because you have designed them to be here. And God, you're giving us the privilege to lay hands on them and to agree with them, Father, that the supernatural power of your Holy Spirit is going to invade their heart. It's going to invade their minds. Father, they're going to think different. They're going to talk different. They're going to meditate different, Lord. They're not going to see the negatives anymore. They're going to see the positives. They're going to see what you are wanting to do and what you're setting people up for blessing in their life. Not defeat, not destruction, not failure, Father. Positive overcoming. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you, Father, that you're doing it right now. We thank you that you're doing it right now, Father. You are making a supernatural change. A supernatural change, Father, in the name of Jesus. A supernatural change, Father, in the name of Jesus. We're going to start thinking like your word says, Father. We're going to start talking your word, Father. We're going to start talking the way you, Father. You call those things that are word, Father God. Positively, Heavenly Father. You see the good and not the failure. You see the good and not the bad. You see the success and not the failure, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Heavenly Father. We praise you. We honor you today, Father. We give you thanks, Lord God, that you're doing something supernatural in the lives of these people. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah, Heavenly Father. Oh, Rabba Talababa, Kabaya Shebende. Now, if you have your prayer language, pray over them in the Spirit right now. Oh, Ramandalabaha Kababasete. Libaya Ramandalabaha Babasete. Mandalab Raskelebe Andata. Father, Satan's bound in Jesus' name. Depression is bound in Jesus' name. Defeatism is bound in the name of Jesus. Father God, eyesight that says that the negative is all they see is bound in the name of Jesus. Your supernatural work, Lord God, and the heart and mind of every individual in this place, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Now, let's all lift our hands and give Him praise. Father, we praise you. We praise you. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Father. We bless your name, O God. We bless your name, O God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands. Lift your hands and praise Him, Father. We praise you. We praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. You're doing something supernatural, Lord, in each of our lives today, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I pray for every person in this place this morning. Those who were prayed for and those who have prayed, that Father, in our extending grace and receiving grace, Father, in Jesus' name I pray, Father, that every person as they leave this place, they will know that they've been in contact with your Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost, created miracles in the lives of those believers. The same Holy Spirit is here today, Father, creating miracles in the hearts and minds of individuals that are present. Lord, I pray that you give them a station in some way, Lord God, that they'll know that something supernatural is taking place, Lord, whether it be the end game or whether it be just an increment where we're waiting for you to finish a job, Lord. Somehow, Father, give them a witness in their hearts, Lord, that something supernatural has taken place in them and something supernatural is taking place in the issues that face their lives. So, Father, in Jesus' name, say it with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for a change of perspective. I see you now in a fresh way. A God of possibilities. Lord, however you turn out, however you complete the work, is okay with me. I just say, thank you, Jesus. I believe in the possibilities of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's give the Lord another praise offering. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Give somebody a hug before you leave. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.